Welcome to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman, where the discussion is about the challenges and opportunities that people face when communicating with the opposite gender. Brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Judy Hoberman.
Good afternoon and welcome to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. Well, it's another hot day in the Big D with everyone trying to stay cool in their air-conditioned cars and offices and restaurants and you name it. Now, as an entrepreneur, these are the kind of days that I like to stay put. If I'm not out training or speaking, I can do what I need to do in my office and not have to worry about being out in that heat. It can be challenging when you're getting ready to get on stage and your makeup needs to be reapplied or your hair dried once again because you have fallen victim to that bright yellow ball in the sky. And sometimes that's a big challenge. But if that's the biggest challenge that we face in business, we're doing pretty well. And that's what I want to talk about today, the challenges women have in business, especially women entrepreneurs. Now, every year, thousands of women make the decision to become owners of their own businesses. In fact, women own 8.6 million businesses in the United States, and that number keeps growing. Now, we read about some of the most successful female entrepreneurs and their stories and how they are so motivating to other women who are thinking about taking that plunge. And we hear about turning your passion into profits and think about someone like a Debbie Fields who baked her way to the top and wonder why we don't have that same success. Well, the truth of the matter is that one of those things that really stops us is really us. But there's also some other factors that we add to the challenges that women have in business. So let me give you some of the most common challenges that women entrepreneurs have when it comes to starting or building their own businesses. First, not being taken seriously. Now, for as long as I can remember, I've heard that not being taken seriously was very high up there on the list for women, and with good reason. Now, many times we're not considered the experts in our field as compared to men in the same industry. And worse yet, when we do make a decision to start a business, those that are closest to us, our friends, our family, still see it as a hobby instead of the business that we have in mind. Now, how many of us have heard, "Oh, that's so cute," when we tell others about our plans? But imagine someone like a Mary Kay who decided to fall prey to those comments. The second is letting fear stand in the way. Now, we all have some fear when it comes to starting a business, and that's normal. But is it the fear of failure or the fear of success? Now, when we talk to ourselves, and we do that a lot, and we describe what we want to do, why do we sound so confident, and yet when we say it out loud to others, we may be less convincing? If you truly believe what you have to offer is of value, then go for it. If it's just because your best friend started a business and it sounds great to run your own company in your PJs from your home, you better think again. The next one is that we want to please everyone. Now, why is it that we always want to please everyone and look for their approval? I know it's in our DNA, and I suppose this leads to some unrealistic expectations and undervaluing of our time. Have you fallen for, "Can I just pick your brain and I'll buy you coffee or lunch?" Now you can and you should do that a few times, but remember, you have a business, not a hobby. Nope, we already talked about that. How about wearing too many hats? Now, as entrepreneurs, we have to wear so many hats, but we also have to remember we don't need to wear them all at the same time. We're so used to multitasking and being everything to everyone that when we add being an entrepreneur to the list, it just seems natural. Now, in order to have a successful business, you have to know what your strengths are and what they're not. And the things that only you can do is what you should be concentrating on. Everything else, pass the hat. And then finally, not being able to toot your own horn. Now, do you remember when you were little, when your parents told you that it wasn't nice to brag? Or if you're that amazing, you don't need to tell anyone? Because they'll figure it out themselves. Now, while that may be true to some extent, in business, you need to be able to talk about some of those amazing things you've done that make you the expert in your field and share some of them when it's appropriate. Now, I'm not saying when you meet someone you have to tell them all your accomplishments, but have a few in your back pocket to pull out when you need them. These challenges are things that we have the ability to change, and pretty quickly. As women, we all know the importance of investing in ourselves, and I would bet your coach or your accountability partner have already pointed some of these things out. Now, there's nothing wrong with feeling any of these hiccups that I mentioned, but however, if you don't change them, they become massive speed bumps. So let's chat a little bit about some of the challenges your business may face. Now, there are a few of those that come up as favorites as well, and the first is lack of cash flow. As entrepreneurs, we sometimes believe that if you build it, they will come with cash and credit cards in hand. But unfortunately, it doesn't happen. And while you may have the ability to tap into your savings, the best businesses will fail without cash flow. What about the fact that, as women, we want to help everyone and not leave everyone out? Because that's also unrealistic. You have to find your niche market. When you define your niche, you'll be marketing to your ideal client, and others will know exactly who to refer you to. And then you're also seen as the expert in your field. What about not understanding about referrals? It's all about relationships, and referrals are the result of that. If you want to build your business with solid clients, don't forget to ask for referrals. Now, you all know that women refer companies and services and products and people out 92% of the time. When you've earned the respect and the trust of your client, why wouldn't they give you a referral? Most times, it's simply because we forget to ask. And what about not having some plans in place? Now, for those of us that have beginning our business within the past few years but are also not in the millennial age bracket, social media is new to us and could be a little confusing or a little bit cumbersome. But social media is here to stay, and so are the benefits of using it. You need a social media plan. You have to have the ability to be able to talk to many instead of just one at a time. Now, one major guideline is to be consistent in your online efforts. If you post or tweet once in a blue moon, your ideal client may not find you. Now, there are tools like Hootsuite that will schedule your posts and tweets. The point is, in today's market, you have to have a plan. Take a look at some of the competitors that you have and see how they do their marketing. What do you like? What do you not like? And what can you try to do? So come up with a plan that will work with your expertise and your schedule. And if all else fails, hire someone to do it. If your name is out there on a consistent basis, your clients will find you. And let's talk one more plan. How about a strategic plan? Now, like marketing and social media, you have to have a strategic plan. Now, you may not need this from the day that you start, but you're going to need it. While this kind of plan is always changing, you have to have some ideas of what your long-term goals are. Now, right now, I'm going through this type of planning, and we all know how much I don't like strategizing, but I do know it's a necessity. Now, even though I'm very focused and everything I do is on one of the three sides of my strategic triangle, my triangle is bursting at the seams and ready to explode. So my husband, aka the Colonel, is reviewing everything in my plan and will help guide me through with his expertise. Painful as it is, I know I have to do it. Okay, so now for some good news about women in business. The 2014 State of Women-Owned Business Reports has been released by NABO and Web.com. According to the report, nearly 9 out of 10 women business owners, that's 87%, are optimistic about the economic outlooks for their businesses this year, which is 12% of an increase over 2013. When asked what they consider to be very or somewhat important in 2014, the women business owners said several issues they considered to be very important would be gaining new customers, generating positive cash flow, maintaining existing customers, keeping expenses in check, so on and so on. And you can see how some of the results are some of the challenges we just talked about. So whether you're just starting out or at that critical tipping point, you want to make sure you add some things to that overflowing to-do list. And most important, don't start a business just for the money. Now, most entrepreneurs are looking to bring value first. We have a passion and we have a purpose. Don't mix up the reason for going into business for yourself. If it's all about money, chances are you'll be disappointed. Money will come, but probably not first. And again, another important point is ask for help when you need it. This is the hardest thing for women. You have to learn to ask for some help. Now, you certainly don't want to be the smartest person in the room or you're in the wrong room. But what are some of the tasks that you have to do that you don't love or aren't good at? Give them to someone else. What if you can't identify your market or make your business unique? There are experts out there that can help you. You just need to ask. The first few times you ask, you might feel a little uncomfortable, but not only does it get easier, when you see the results, you'll be kicking yourself for not doing it sooner. When we come back, we're going to meet our first guest who helps her clients identify and solve some of the challenges that we face every single day. This is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio, and we will be right back.
Are you feeling burnt out or lost on where to go or what to do next when it comes to your business? If you feel like you own a job instead of a business, or if your business is running you instead of you running it, we can help. The Thrive Business Center was created to educate and support small business owners. With a strategic approach and a proven method, we'll help you identify what is working well in your business and what is not. Then, together, we can establish an action plan with an implementation process so that your business can get back to thriving. For more information, go to ThriveBusinessCenter.com. ThriveBusinessCenter.com.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Are you an entrepreneur? Are you where you want to be? Do you believe that if you build it, they will come? Unfortunately, entrepreneurship doesn't work that way, and that's why you need to read Famous Isn't Enough. In this book, you'll find real-life situations and lessons learned. When all is said and done, there's nothing better than being your own boss. Remember, nothing just happens. You have to put in the work. Famous Isn't Enough is your roadmap. Get your copy today at www.famousisn'tenough.com.
Welcome back to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. Now remember, you can call in with questions and talk to my guests at 347-989-1363. Now, my first guest is Jane Duber, a sought-after business strategist, international speaker, author, and seven-time successful entrepreneur who's helped thousands of small business owners transform their experience to be massively profitable and deeply fulfilling. Now, while armed with a master's in international business, it's her 28 years in the entrepreneurial trenches that enables her to help small business owners bust through their blocks and grow their businesses more strategically with what she calls second-level leveraging strategies. Her latest endeavor, Value Quiz, offers the world's first done-with-you personalized smart assessment that is revolutionizing the way experts market online. From growing your list with an innovative call to action to converting more clients from one-on-one sales conversions, the Value Quiz is inspiring a new era in online marketing and creating mind-blowing results. Today, she operates her three successful companies from her home in beautiful Pebble Beach, California, along with her husband, Mario, of 28 years. What's more, Jane is the real deal, living and modeling what's possible when we access our entrepreneurial genius and go for what we truly desire. Welcome to the show, Jane. The wonderful life you have that I've described does not come without hard work.
Absolutely, Judy. Thanks for having me here. I'm excited. And what a great intro. I took notes, you know.
We love when that happens. Okay, so let's jump in. Being a serial entrepreneur, I know for a fact that you face challenges both as an entrepreneur as well as being a woman. So can you talk to us about some of those challenges?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's so interesting. You know, you were going over some of those big ones, and, you know, it's like a checklist for me. You can imagine over the course of 28 years and starting seven businesses, and we've sold a number of them, and I still have three today. I can tell you that, you know, I was thinking when you were talking about that it's really about, you know, moving through the fear, you know, tackling the challenge, doing the things that are hard. It's really about you building up almost your resistance. Like, I have a pretty high threshold for stress and a pretty high threshold for fear, because I realize that just pushing through the things that scare you the most, they often lead to the greatest payoff. So part of it is, you know, just getting comfortable with being uncomfortable and knowing that, you know, you're going to have a ton of misses. I have to tell you, a friend of mine, Alex Mendoza, and I were debating on stage which one of us have made the most mistakes, the most, you know, misses, and faced the most challenges. And I think it's just, you know, it's part of business, and we've got to understand that, or otherwise we end up beating ourselves up, don't we?
Absolutely, and I will tell you that of all the mistakes that the two of you have, I probably made more because I'm sure I made up some mistakes.
Yay, good for you. Way
yeah.
to go.
Well, you know, because every mistake is a lesson learned. So when you made the mistakes, were you able to fix them yourself, or did you rely on a team that may have helped you to correct some or put you back on track?
Well, I mean, you know, a lot of the mistakes, well, you know, in terms of challenges in general, I mean, you mentioned the big one. The first thing you said was cash flow. And I have to tell you that that is the number one challenge. And, well, actually, you know what I'll say? First, the number one challenge is the inner game, you know, the mind mess that sometimes we can get ourselves into. So that's part of just managing your inner state and being able to just keep yourself in a positive state so that even when you fall off or when you miss a mark, you're able to pull yourself back into action quickly. But it's that cash flow thing. I will tell you, you know, I definitely had to reach out. I don't think we can ever do anything alone. But, you know, I set out knowing the first business, this was way back in 1987, and I knew that I had to master the art of basically attracting the right clients, engaging them in what I offered, and then getting them to say yes. And I can't think of one skill, Judy, that's more important for entrepreneurs to master right from the beginning. Just know you're out to master this game of engaging the right clients into the right program so that they become happy, raving fans.
Yes, and I agree. And I think that sometimes, you know, as women, we want to help everybody. We want everybody to be in our market space, which is definitely unrealistic. But I do remember when you and I met at the PSA conference down in San Antonio, mm-hmm. one of the things that you were talking about that had everybody's ears perk up was about assessments. Okay,
yeah.
And the thing is that I think that what happens is when we don't really identify our niche market, we really are setting ourselves up for failure. So you talk about using assessments to determine who your market is, and that not only who they are, but people that can pay for it. So talk about assessment marketing, and how does that help with some of the challenges that we have?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, we really kind of, in some ways, it's not that assessments are new. They've been used in so many different ways, but mostly personality assessments. What we do is we use an assessment that measures two things for the prospect. It measures where they are in their path, so I can identify. And really, Judy, all of this came out of frustrations I was having. It killed me to know that I had this great tribe, this wonderful list of emails and names, and they were opting in and coming to calls, but I didn't know them. I didn't know who they were or where they were on their path or where they were needing to grow and what they were celebrating being strong in. And it killed me. You know, we met. We had an instant connection. I'm a people person. Mm-hmm. And it was frustrating me that I was limited to these email communications. And so we actually just came up with a tool. And I went to my – and by the way, I'm, like, so blessed to be married to a programmer. And we have a programming team. So I went to him and I said, you know, I want to be able to find out where these people are so that when I'm offering a next step or extending an invitation to do business with me, I'm offering something that's right for them. So we took the concept of an assessment, and instead of doing a personality profile, we have them rate themselves on where they are. Now, I'm a business coach, and all of our tools really help people grow their business. So we're then taking the five areas that are essential to success and having people assess where they are on their journey. And I'll tell you, Judy, there's nothing that creates in a sense of intimacy and connection than when you're helping a person get clear about where they're strong and where they need to grow. It's almost like a bit of a truth teller. And what I found early on, like right from the get-go, is when we started to use assessments for me to understand who was on our list and what they needed, and then also like we would use them prior to one-on-one conversations, it just creates this bond and intimacy right from the get-go. I see where they are. I can see their strengths. I can see what the misses are. And we can get straight to work and really supporting them in growing.
So when you have this, you know, when you do the assessment and it does break it down to your ideal person that's raising their hand and saying, pick me, does it turn into more of a relationship? Because that's really what we love to do anyway. And you just described you're a people person and you like the relationship. So do the assessments take you there?
Yeah, it's so funny. Just as you answered that, I got goosebumps. I'm like, I always notice how my body reacts to questions and stuff. Because the reality is that, yeah, it creates a closeness because they know that I've helped them get to awareness. The other thing that it does, which was kind of a bit of a surprise, Judy, when you started using these. This has been a bit of a bonus. But we know that in a very crowded market, like right now, no matter what business you're in, whether you're a coach or you're in sales, it doesn't matter. Whatever business you're in a crowded market, and there are zillions of people out there that are also offering, you know, it's the click here and get my webinar, click here and get my video. And the reality is we need to stand out. And so one of the things we find is that it's really cool to have a unique call to action. So instead of me saying click here and get my webinar, one of our calls to action is click here and find out why your business isn't profitable, or click here and find out why you feel like you're spinning your wheels in your business. So it's unique and it's intriguing and it gets people noticed. And then when they go in and take the assessment, we're calling it assumed genius. Now follow me here, because it's kind of a cool thing. If you're in a crowded marketplace and there are other people that are offering the same prospect something similar, one of the most important differentiators is to build a sense of confidence in you, to build that sense that you know how to take care of what my problems are. And so what's happened with assumed genius is as they go through and assess themselves in the various areas that are important. So let's say I'm a relationship coach. And let's say that in my assessment, I'm having someone look at their communication skills, their intimacy, their playfulness, and on a scale of 1 to 10, 1, not so much, 10, I've really done well in that area. All of a sudden, in addition for me saying, this is the picture of what my relationship is supposed to look like, I'm also getting a sense, if I'm scoring low here, this must be something you can help with. They assume that we have an ability to fix the things they're scoring low. And that's been so cool, because without me having to tout my own horn too much and get out there and beat my chest and say how wonderful I am, I'm very subtly communicating, this is my area of expertise, I can help you.
Okay, so let's go for right there. Okay, so now you've identified who your target is, and you've identified, like, you already know what they're looking for. So I know there's going to be people that are listening to this thinking, well, as soon as you do that, they're just going to hand you money. They're just going to say, okay, I'm in. So
make conversion easier, Judy, but it's not
that easy. It makes it easier, right, exactly. So what's the step? I mean, what's the transition? We want to work with you, and we also want to pay you. But there's always, you know, that's usually the hardest part of the sales process, is going from solving their problem to saying, okay, let's close without sounding
salesy. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, I mean, at the end, we're going to actually give people an opportunity to take an assessment so they can experience it themselves. And when they're taking it, you're going to kind of take it on two levels. Number one, you're going to kind of see where you are in the process. But number two, you're going to notice the process, because what has to happen next, now that you've taken the assessment, we do something called the report of findings. And by the way, like FYI, this was such a cool thing for us. We now build it for other people. So if people go and experience it, that's kind of what we love doing now, is creating custom assessments that are branded for other people. But as you can imagine, Judy, that you go through the process, you get a sense of where you are, so you're scoring yourself. Then two things have to happen. Number one, I want to know where you are on your commitment level. So you'll see at the bottom of the assessment, this is actually the first time ever we've been able to assess our prospect's commitment. It's like mind-blowing. I can be in a room and people who've been in online marketing for years are like, crazy that no one thought of this. But we ask three questions. And the question, or actually statements, that where they're rating their level of commitment, their commitment to actually, you know, move beyond the blocks and see what's holding them back, their commitment to actually invest in themselves, and their commitment to have a conversation. Now, why that's so crazy good is that so many people, they've been spending their time with the wrong people. They've been talking to people who are not committed, who are not ready, who are just wanting some free, you know, coaching. Well, you know, I'm all about helping people, but I want to spend my time with people who are open and ready to make some changes. So that's the first thing we have to do, is really be able to assess commitment. Based on that, imagine this. Based on where the commitment is, so we ask three questions, so it's a commitment score of total 30. If a person has a high commitment, say a 25, 22 or above, we can actually program the autoresponder. So I can allow that person to have a next step based on not only their commitment level, but where they are in business. So if you could, so this is where I got all excited, and where my tech team, I was just so thrilled that we were able to do this. I'm really big on having people feel seen and understood and inspired. So in the email that goes back, if you're brand new to your let's say you're in relationship, and let's say you scored like really poorly, 20 out of 100, well, I get to say to you, hey, don't worry about it, Judy. Everybody starts somewhere. It's great that you're here, and it's great that you're looking for help. So I get to allow them to feel seen if they're brand new. If they're a rock star and they scored a 90 out of 100, I get to say, wow, like, I'm impressed. You have done a lot of work on your relationship, and that tells me you're always wanting it to be better. So do you hear the importance of, you know, allowing that person to feel seen, and then based on their commitment level, I'm going to give them a next step. I will get on a phone with someone with a high commitment, because even if they're, no matter what their scoring is, whether it's low on the 1 to 100 scale, what we noticed is the conversion, the people who say yes to an offer, it's based on their commitment. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely,
absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so go one step further. So if assessment marketing helps people to attract and engage and convert their ideal people, what tip can you offer to those that are looking to make sure that their sales process is really good for them?
Yeah, I mean, it really comes down to many of you are trying to you're working too hard when it comes to the sale, because you're trying to convince people of what they need. And what you want to do, whether, you know, this, we automate the assessment so that it happens automatically online instantly, but no matter what it is, you got to not so much have them tell you where they are in their process. We need to have them be a truth teller for themselves before we even begin the sale process. Because when they come, like, for example, we have programs that we sell in one-on-one conversations. Well, imagine this, Judy, that if you've taken an assessment, you see where you're strong, you see where you've scored yourself low. When you come to that conversation with myself or my team, you get it. Like, you're there because you know, wow, you know, my business may not be doing as well as it could be because I'm scoring really low in A, B, and C. And so that's, I think, the biggest tip I can give everybody is, you know, oftentimes people are using these open-ended surveys before they come to the call. And I get it. We want to give people an opportunity to express, but the problem is they're telling the same story they've already always told about the challenges they're having. Versus assessment, where they're having to assess on a scale of 1 to 10 where they are, they become their own truth teller. So they come, and it's amazing because the intimacy is there. They see that you're the expert they need. And it's so cool, Judy, because we can start the conversation by just, first of all, like, celebrating the win. We want to protect mm-hmm. their confidence, you know. We want to see them and affirm them. So we go to the high-scoring places, and I'd be like, hey, Judy, you rocked it. You give yourself 10 in this area and this area, so congratulations. You know, I would ask you, why do you think those are areas that you're really strong? So
right.
I'd be kind of like, right?
Yeah.
Can you see it?
Absolutely. And what I was going to say is that, you know, a lot of times people look for coaches because they want somebody to tell them what they're doing wrong and how to correct it. But instead, I would say by celebrating some of the things that you do great, that's a whole different conversation. And the dynamics change in that conversation because somebody recognized that you actually did something that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, and it builds rapport, you know, and that rapport with your prospect is essential because they've got to trust that you're going to take care of them emotionally as well as help them with whatever their challenges are. So that's an important piece. We begin with celebration, and then it's a super easy transition. So you're working with a lot of women who are really wanting to get better at sales. And here's mm-hmm. what I'll tell you. Most women have a hard time with this piece of needing to create discomfort with our clients because they have to feel uncomfortable. If they don't feel discomfort with not getting the results they want, they're not going to make a decision to invest to get the support. And honestly, like, this is me. Like, I'm a feel-good person. I want you to feel good about yourself, so this was always hard. So partly, I created this tool to make it easier for me. But if you can imagine, after we've celebrated your successes and you've really claimed why you're strong in those areas, then I would say, so Judy, let's take a look at the assessment. You have it there in front of you. I have yours in front of me. Let's look at these two areas. These are the two areas you scored the lowest, and it might be whatever, closing the sale or generating leads, whatever that is. And I'll say, tell me why you think those are challenges for you right now. And then I let the client explain why those are areas that aren't working, and we start to talk about why they are important and what the alternative is. And honestly, we talk about what's the cost of not fixing that. So in a relationship,
right.
let's say that communications, they, you know, that person scored themselves very low in that area. we get to talk about the pain that that's causing and what the relationship will continue to be if they don't get the communication skills they need.
And plus, it's in their own words because they're actually verbalizing it. So that's
exactly.
Even better.
Tons of
okay.
Ownership. Exactly.
Yes.
You hit
yes.
The nail on the head.
Yes. So I know you have a free gift for our listeners, and I would love for you to explain it because you know it as well as I do. We are going to run out of time.
Yeah, I mean, it's really simple. It is the gift of awareness. I mean, I do these interviews, and what I understand is that, you know, on two levels, I want to serve you. Number one, I want to give you the gift of knowing where you are. So the one that we're going to send you to is around sales conversion. Since I thought you guys are talking about sales, it would be appropriate. So if you go to convertclientsnow.com, so convertclientsnow.com, that is going to allow you to take the assessment, and you'll get a report of findings, which gives you your scoring, and you'll have a next step, which is a free gift based on where you are. And to me, you know, the greatest thing that you can do, we always have a saying here, awareness is the first step to powerful change. So as soon as you take your assessment, you're going to get the report of findings back, and I want you to do exactly what we just talked about. I want you to celebrate where you're strong and see that as a strength. You talked about that in your intro, Judy. You've got to build around your strengths, so celebrate it. Then I want you to go through and look for the places. There's sections. We give you section scores. Where did you score yourself the lowest? And ask yourself, what is that costing me? If I don't fix this, what's going to happen in my business? And that's so if you can imagine that for you, and then you'll have some opportunities, possibly talk to my team, sometimes even talk to me. So we'll have some next steps for you. But just know, imagine whatever world you're in, imagine having that same assessment for yourself. Imagine
Absolutely.
You being able to have your clients get that kind of clarity and that kind of care and nurturing via email. So that's the gift that I wanted to offer the group.
Well, I know I'm going to be doing it, so I hope everybody else does it. It's convertclientsnow.com, and we are going to post that. So, Jane,
Thank
how
you.
Can our listeners connect with you?
You know, I will tell you there's also a website that gives you a little bit more about the value quiz process and assessment marketing, and it's at called valuequiz.com. And hopefully we can give them that link as well. But at valuequiz.com,
yep.
We partnered with Alex Mendoza. I don't know if you know Alex.
I do. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we partnered with him. He's part of our SOAP spokesperson. He's got a great video series there. And it's just for you to understand, you know, assessment marketing is the wave of the future because people are realizing that we're not creating a relationship with our list, and this is the way to create that relationship. So if you're in business, you need to know about assessment marketing, and you'll get a gift there as well when you go into that process and see Alex's videos.
Awesome. Well, Jane, you certainly are an information guru, and I bet if our listeners just did one of the things that you shared, they'll see a big difference in their business.
Absolutely, and I'd love to hear about it because I love the group that you're working with, Judy. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Well, thank you so much for being here today, and I look forward to our next chapter together.
Me too.
Okay. Now we're going to take a break to make sure we thank our sponsors, BDP Consulting, so they know how much we appreciate them. So if you're ready to watch your business get some great buzz and become one of our sponsors, just go to toughtalkradionetwork.com and click on the sponsor tab, and you can watch your business soar. This is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio, and we will be right back.
Do you want to know the secret to building a successful business quickly? It's all about taking action. But not just any action. It takes inspired and consistent action to get profits. Join Michelle Sism, the six-figure results lady, as she asks successful entrepreneurs their profitable secrets every Monday at 2 p.m. Central Time on Take Action, Get Profits with Michelle Sism on the Tough Talk Radio Network. If you're ready to take action and get profits, you can find out more about the show at TakeActionGetProfitsRadio.com.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Are you a sales professional stuck in a rut? Are you a sales manager trying to direct women in your company? In her book,
Selling in a Skirt, Judy Hoberman offers invaluable and proven insights into how gender differences can affect sales outcomes and the tools and strategies to drive real results in today's marketplace. Judy offers a suite of workshops, seminars, and coaching programs that complement her highly successful book. Her 30 years in sales have given her both the knowledge and a sense of humor about the gender differences that we should all understand and embrace instead of feeling unable to communicate. Judy's humorous stories about how men and women sell, manage, recruit, and supervise differently will enlighten you in learning how both genders can support each other's successes in a more productive way. Find out more by going to sellinginaskirt.com.
Welcome back to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. Now, I want to remind you all to like us on Facebook at Selling in a Skirt and Tough Talk Radio, and be my friend, of course, at Judy Hoberman, and follow me on Twitter at Selling in a Skirt. It's so great to stay connected, and that definitely gives you access to success and profitability. Now, my next guest is standing by and has so much experience with women and money and being an entrepreneur in her own niche market. Dale Robin Siegel has been helping and teaching people how to buy their homes for over 20 years. Not only is she an active mortgage broker, she writes and lectures about it. The award-winning author of The New Rules for Mortgages is a sought-after speaker on all things real estate. She's written numerous books on residential real estate and the editor of the blog, The Robin Report. She's frequently quoted in the media and has appeared on ABC Dateline, NBC Nightly News with Chuck Scarborough, and dozens of radio shows, and we're honored that she's here. Helping people buy their biggest asset in their lives is hard enough. Dale actually teaches you how to do it. So welcome to the show, Dale. I am super excited to have you here.
Hi, thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's going to be fun. Now, we know you're an expert in everything that has to do with real estate, but before we go down that path, let's chat a little bit about being a female entrepreneur, about being a woman in business. What do you think are some of the biggest challenges that women face in business?
As a self-employed business owner in the banking industry, finance industry, it's male-led industry. So I guess that's an extra layer of not difficulty, but a challenge. You need to stand out in different ways. Because there's a lot of competition, I find that women in my industry tend to educate as part of their marketing plan.
Mm-hmm.
It's not difficult being a woman. You know, I never find that it's a challenge or something. You just need to be able to realize that you're going to market yourself in different ways, and people look for things from you in different ways, like more detail-oriented, more organized, different kinds of feedback than just general, you know, banter.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a
yeah.
bad word, but I'll use that.
Okay, well, I do come from the world of insurance and financial, so I do know exactly what you're talking about. But how about you personally? Have you had any specific challenges that you had to overcome?
Being a woman in a man's world, I and specifically banking and finance, as you said, I tend to draw a very thick line between personal and business, whereas it might be differently with the men in the industry. Like, I don't do the golf thing. I never got the golf thing. I play golf, but I don't do it for business, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So personal challenges, no. I just know that it's very important to remain a very high-end professional.
Right.
So
right.
I might overcompensate for that, which may be a challenge.
Okay. So, again, one more question about being a woman in male-dominated industries. Do you have were you ever offered things that motivated you or were supposed to motivate you that were strictly not on par with what you were looking for? Like, for me, I won every contest every single week, but I was awarded things like, you know, golf clubs and tickets to NASCAR and coolers and all things that were definitely male-dominated, you know, male-oriented. So, A, were you offered things that were supposed to motivate you that may not have? And, B, if you were offered something that was more feminine, would you have worked any harder?
No. I mean, there's a lot of golf outings. I'm also an attorney, so there's a lot of bar association golf outings for Women Bar Association, Westchester Bar Association. So I guess that the gifts are, you know, it's not like they offer a gift like free mani-pedi, that kind of stuff.
No, I know that.
Which is always nice. But, you know, dinner certificates, store certificates, you know, and don't forget, as a side note, my industry is very different because you can't really, you have to be careful what kind of gifts you give. Yeah. So if I were to be offered a weekend in Paris, would I work really hard to meet that goal? Sure.
Okay. Just curious, because I remember, you know, I don't think I would have worked any harder, but the reward would have been so much sweeter. So, okay, so let's go into
that happens a lot, especially now. You know, like, every industry is different now with the way they treat the employees or vendors or whatever. You know, the parties used to be huge. Now, even if there is a party, it's very low profile, which is good, you know. It's not necessary.
Now, maybe they're spending their money on the right things. So let's go into your area of expertise. You know, as an entrepreneur, we are always classified as self-employed. And it used to be very different when we were applying for a mortgage as a self-employed person. But today, it's almost impossible, or it seems to be almost impossible, to get a mortgage. So what would you tell this very large segment of the population? What do they need to do in order to qualify for a mortgage as a self-employed person?
I think that the key to being self-employed and qualifying for a mortgage, as in any other type of financing, is to be prepared and have your documents in order. So, for instance, a lot of people extended their 2013 tax return filing, and you can until September 15th. But I need your tax returns to do a mortgage now. So if you want to extend for tax purposes but you want to get a mortgage, I really need to see 2012, 2013, and the first 6 months of 2014. So if your bookkeeping is not up to snuff, you really have to sit down and work on that in order to be prepared to file a mortgage application. So it's not harder to get a mortgage if you're self-employed, if you qualify, income stream, asset base, credit profile. But you're going to need to show additional documentation, which is typically you need to show a longer history of income.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to have all of your ducks in order or in a row before you get started, which might take extra time.
Right. Well, I do remember, you know, I was going to refinance, and I walked into my mortgage broker's office, and the first thing she asked me is, well, are you self-employed? And I said, yes. She goes, well, we can't help you. That was it. She didn't give me anything else. That was all she gave me. And so, you know, it's very frustrating because I do remember being, I've been self-employed my entire life. I do remember getting a mortgage very easily. So
Before you were self-employed?
No. Well, yeah, when I was self-employed, it was very easy years ago. Very easy.
Oh, sure. Years ago, like we would say, all you had to do was breathe, you know, fog up the mirror and you'd get a loan. But no, I mean, self-employed, you know, I'm surprised that somebody would say we can't help you because they should have told you exactly like I told you.
Yeah.
Did you file your tax returns? You know?
Okay. So talk about some of the new rules of mortgages that you write about in your book.
So the it is harder to get a mortgage, I agree. It's harder to get a mortgage for anybody. And it's harder because they, A, are looking for a more qualified borrower, better credit, sometimes more money down, very tight ratios, whereas before you could make, you know, less money, and they would allow your monthly income versus expenses to be a little bit higher. Now they're very strict, typically 45% and below. So that's kind of tight. What we do is we take, just as a general rule, we take your gross annual income divided by 12 pre-tax dollars, That's your gross monthly income. We figure out what your housing expense is going to be, what all your other expenses, cars, student loans, credit cards, second mortgages, second homes, whatever. All that together cannot be more than 45%. Some banks are a little less. There are some banks will go a little higher. So that's tough, whereas, you know, 10 years ago, you could qualify for a mortgage if you were at 65%, you know, or 75%. So that's harder. Minimum credit score is 640, okay? That's harder. A lot of people, you know, in the recent years, job loss, you know, asset loss, their credit went down just a bit, and you might be at a lower threshold of credit. So even if you do qualify for a mortgage, your interest rate could be higher because your interest rate might be, your FICO score might be a 660 instead of a 720. Mm-hmm. And instead of getting 4.25, maybe your interest rate is 4.5. I made that up, but you know what I mean.
Right, I got that.
So your credit needs to be better because it will affect whether you can get a mortgage, it will affect your interest rate, and it will affect how much money you can put down. Your income to asset needs to be stronger. And they might say, well, you can put down 10% or 20% down payment on a home, but the big question is, what are your post-closing reserves now? So with some loan programs, they're looking for you to have 9 months worth of housing expenses left over in the bank, which, you know, it used to be you had 2 months left over in the bank, and I find that a little scary that, you know, you buy a house and all the money you have left will just cover 2 months' expenses. So that's all more difficult to qualify. And then the other part of it is it takes a lot longer. There's a lot more paperwork involved. There's a lot more paper signing involved. There's a lot more time calendar dates that we have to meet, 4 business days here, 3 business days there. So the process takes longer than one might have expected, you know. So it's tough to go through it. But, you know, if you qualify for a mortgage, you qualify for a mortgage still.
Yeah, and you're right, and you're able to get a piece of, you know, the quote-unquote American dream. So I think that's a great thing that you can qualify. It may take a little bit longer, but, you know, good things come to those who wait. So not,
yeah.
You know.
And as far as qualifying, you know, and getting the American dream, the American dream is not for everybody.
Correct.
You know, owning a home is just not for everybody. People think you have to or you should at some point in your life, but some people are just as well off renting. You know, there's nothing wrong with renting a home, I feel. You know, so just because you can qualify for a mortgage doesn't mean you want to own a home because maybe you hate to mow the lawn or change light bulbs or worry about the boilers or all those things that come along with home ownership.
Right,
you know?
Right. Okay, so let's take a little leap on to the right over here. Now, we're talking about, you know, mortgages, which has to be about money, and money's always an interesting topic for women, especially, you know, not only entrepreneurs, but women in general. So as an educator, what are some of tips for entrepreneurs to work on their finances in order to either qualify for a mortgage or just to be able to sustain their lifestyle? Because you know as well as I do, over the last few years, and you just mentioned it, the credit scores have gone down, people have gotten into some difficulty with credit cards or whatever. So what kind of tips can you offer?
For self-employed people?
Mm-hmm.
Well, for self-employed people, you know, it's always hard not to cross that line between, you know, signing personally for business debt, commingling your business debt with your personal debt. For instance, if you have a car payment and you sign for it personally, but the business is going to make your car payment, make sure the business pays your car every single month. Because if 1 month you pay it, then it becomes a personal debt. If you can prove last 12 months the business paid your car payment, even though it's on your personal credit report, we'll remove that from your personal debt. Okay? Very important. Business credit cards, people also mingle their personal credit cards, business credit cards. I have friends that they're self-employed. They've been partners for 30 years. They have a business credit card, a business American Express card, and a personal American Express card. The business American Express card has two dots of nail polish on it, and that's the one that each of them are sure to use for business because it's exactly the same. You know, it's the same color. It has their name. So they're very careful to separate business, you know, expenses from personal expenses. So because if you're carrying business debt personally and you can't document that it really is your business debt, we're going to include it for your personal debt. So that's really important to keep everything separated and in order. If you are really big on writing everything off, you know, to limit your income taxes that you pay at the end of the year, just know that, you know, we're going to use those same numbers to qualify you for a mortgage. So if you're all excited that you're paying taxes on, you know, $15,000 of income last year, well, that's what we're going to use to qualify you for a mortgage. So it's a good and bad thing. You know, people sometimes write off excessive expenses, but then that's the number we use to qualify. So that could be an issue.
Right. Well, I do remember that, you know, going through many, many years, decades in the insurance business, it was always on April 16th, all the guys would come in and say, so what'd you get your income down to? Because everybody would write everything off. But then when you tried to, you know, to sell your agency, you had nothing, there was nothing there. So
that's right,
while
there's
you
no
may
value.
Not be paying, right, we may not be paying taxes, you have no value. So I think that's a great tip, you know, to make sure that you have to keep things separate and to make sure you know you it has no value. You can't qualify for a mortgage. You can't do much of anything if you don't have
except
any income.
Except pay no
coming.
Tax.
That's right. That's right.
Here's another really good tip by example. If you're let's say you're self-employed, you own 100% of the business, you might take a W-2, but you also just, you know, wash money into your personal account whenever you need it. You know, I'll write my check, a check for $15,000 or whatever. If you're using your business funds to buy your residence, some banks will not allow you to first of all, you should never write a check out for your down payment on your home from your business checking account. Just move it from the business checking account to your personal account. Then the bank wants to see where's the money coming from. We document the last 60 days of personal bank statements. So if you know you're going to buy a house, move that money from your business account to your personal account 60 days prior to applying for a mortgage, so you're giving me two bank statements, personal bank statements that show you have the funds to close. Because if you have to start moving it from the business account to the personal account, the bank then is going to want to see, you know, well, let me see your business tax returns, let me see the last 6 months business bank statement. So then they're going to start sniffing around places you really don't want them to. So the key is to get the money over into your personal account and season it for 60 days before your real estate transaction. Otherwise, it gets sticky and people get mad.
Yeah, well, they need somebody that's going to give them some great advice. So tell me, what's the Robin Report about?
The Robin Report, we write, it started really when the market tanked and, you know, you really couldn't get a mortgage anywhere. Little tidbits and news and changes were coming out, so we would constantly write, you know, just a small piece. It could be 300 words, which I always find is enough nowadays. You know, just this is the changes coming out. This is what you need to know. You know, exactly like that. Exactly like that. Like, you know, did you know you needed to season, you know, money for 60 days? You know, stuff like that.
So it's really good points. Yeah, it's really good points and really good tips for people. I think that's great. So how can people find you and connect you and read about the Robin Report and read about some of the amazing things that you're doing in real estate and in business?
Well, thank you. That's very nice. That was a nice intro. So my website is dalesiegel.com, dalesiegel.com, and that's my personal website. I own a mortgage company. I'm in Harrison, New York. It's called Circle Mortgage group. And, of course, we have, you know, a web presence there. And if you Google me, you could probably lead to me also.
Okay, well, we're going to make sure we have all of your information out there. So last question before we have to go. So what would you want to leave our listeners with today?
I would want to leave your listeners with, whether you're a first-time home buyer or a repeat home buyer or refinancing, the key to an easy process is to be prepared and participate in your own mortgage transaction. A lot of people just sign papers and send them in. Read things, understand things, ask questions. It's very important to be self-educated when you're working on any sort of, you know, financial topic for yourself. So participate in your own transaction. Just don't rely on other people.
Great. That's wonderful. Well, Dale, I think we could talk for hours because there's so much here. And for some reason, over the past few months, I've been doing more speaking and training in real estate and the mortgage industry. So you're a fantastic resource, and I would love to be able to follow up and hopefully agree that you'll be able to come back and share some more.
Sure, anytime you need. Thank you.
Right. Thank you so much.
Have a great day.
You too. And we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, I'm going to share a few ideas about being an entrepreneur and that one trait you have to have. This is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio, and we will be right back.
Imagine taking your business to the masses using proven marketing techniques. What if you could take what you love and turn it into a six-figure business in the next 2 years? Or a $500,000 business in the next 3 to 4 years? Michelle Sism went from struggling to build her coaching practice to doing $500,000 in her business in less than 4 years when she uncovered the secrets to converting audiences to clients. In Cash In on Your Expertise, Michelle shares the exact strategy she used to build her business so quickly. Get your free copy today at www.cashinonyourexpertise.com.
Live at Choice, where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live at Choice choose to make a difference. Live at Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveatchoice.com to get started.
Join Judy Hoberman on her radio show, Selling in a Skirt, Mondays at noon Central, for exciting discussions about challenges for women in today's society. The talk is about women in business, work and life balance, leadership, and current events related to gender communication. Be prepared to be inspired, motivated, and challenged. Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on the Tough Talk Radio Network is your connection to women nationally, internationally, and globally. So get comfy and see what the buzz is all about. Listen live on Mondays at noon by going to sellinginaskirtwithjudyhoberman.com.
Welcome back to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio. So let's wrap up the show with some ideas about doing what you're good at and being confident, because that's the trait you need. The fact of the matter is that no matter how much money you bring in or who you know, you have to be confident about your business and yourself. Confidence comes from inside of you, and it's your job to find it and display it proudly. Even though your challenges and there might be things that you may not wish to have in front of you at all the times, but confidence has to be there. So here are some thoughts about finding your confidence. First, admit what you don't know. Once you do that, you can find those that can pick up the slack. For me, I know that I'm technologically challenged, so I bring in people that can do what I can't. What only I can do, I do, and anything else, I send it off. Do your research. Who's your market? What do they need? What are they really looking for? You want to anticipate the questions and the needs of your potential clients and have those solutions available. We talked about assessments with Jane. Always have your resources that will be valuable to this market as well. There's going to be those that don't like your business, and you have to know that just because they don't like your business doesn't mean they don't like you. So don't take it personally. And as women, we tend to do that. It really isn't about you. Don't forget your why, and that will put things into perspective. Your business does not define who you are. It's what you do, not who you are. And encourage yourself. What have you accomplished? Think about that. If you have a friend or a colleague that asked you for help with your level of confidence, what would you say to them? Start by taking your own advice. And do you know how great it is to be a mentor? This will boost your level of confidence into the stratosphere. I mentor many young women coming out of school, and I learn as much from them as they do from me, maybe even more. It's like a shot in the arm. You'll see so much how you know a lot more than you think you know and share that knowledge with someone that needs it. I thank you every day, every week, every Monday at noon to join me. I'm so excited every single week when we get to spend an hour together where we share some extraordinary some ideas for your business and ways to stand out as the amazing women that you are. You can see how excited I get. Make sure you stay connected with us, and remember, women want to be treated equally, not identically. Until next week, this is Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman on Tough Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to Selling in a Skirt with Judy Hoberman, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com.